As Kathy Hochul settles into her new role as governor of New York, we're continuing to examine the to-do list that various interest groups have for her. And up next are the healthcare priorities of the Community Service Society. And to discuss their hopes and dreams for the Buffalo Democrat, we're joined by the organization's Vice President of Health Initiatives, Elizabeth Benjamin. Welcome back to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me on, Dave. Really exciting.
If you had Governor Hochul's ear, what would be the number one thing you would advise her to do as it pertains to healthcare policy in New York?
Fix it. You know, fix it for patients. It's not working. And I think the pandemic has really laid bare, you know, where people have had to pay with their lives. 64,000 New Yorkers have died, mostly people of color. Our healthcare system is failing the people it's meant to serve, which is the patients. And I think it's just really paramount for Governor Hochul to turn the page on the Cuomo administration sort of catering of big industry players and, you know, mergers and acquisitions and consolidations, and really take a deep breath and start delivering real, you know, real stuff for patients, as opposed to just spending all the resources on the big industry in the healthcare system. You know, of course, one really simple way to you know, get rid of the industry profits and our healthcare system is to go for the New York Health Act. You know, that is obviously the best and simplest way to make our broken healthcare system work better. It would allocate resources fairly, it would cover everyone, and it would be user-friendly. But there's some things, you know, short of the New York Health Act, there's things she could do right now in this budget. They could make a palpable difference in patients' lives.
Well, yeah, let's turn to the budget, which she's going to have to introduce at the start of January. What would you like to see in there that, short of the New York Health Act, would begin to really transform healthcare in New York for New Yorkers?
Well, I think the first thing we'd really like to see is the Coverage for All bill, which is S-1572. And, you know, and there's an assembly lookalike that would really cover immigrants. You know, our excluded workers are often undocumented immigrants. They are precluded from participating in the healthcare system. But we do actually provide coverage to children. And it's time that we cover all immigrants and residents of New York State. California has moved forward with covering young adults. Illinois covers immigrant seniors. And it's really time for New York to cover immigrants who have been left behind and have really paid with their lives during doing all the essential work that we needed for this past year and a half that we've been suffering through the COVID pandemic. It's pretty cheap. You know, it's only about $450 million, and it would cover 111,000 New Yorkers, and we'd really like to see her embrace this measure.
And what about Medicaid? Obviously, that's a real important tool for providing health insurance, health coverage for a lot of New Yorkers. Is there anything you'd like to see her do with regards to Medicaid, whether it's spending more money on the program or changing the rules for the program?
Yeah, there's two things that we think is really important for Medicaid equity. The first thing is it's shocking, but we have much stricter income limits for our age, blind and disabled population. So people who are over 65, people who are visually impaired, and people who have disabilities are capped for Medicaid eligibility at $10,000 if their incomes are at $10,000 a year, versus everyone else who has, you know, can go up to $17,000 a year. So a bunch of states have really kind of fixed this, you know, inequitable. It makes no sense. I mean, the very people that need Medicaid the most should not have a stricter income guideline than everyone else. And so that would be number one. I think number two, we really need to invest in our safety net hospitals. As I mentioned before, you know, our whole Medicaid program really rewards the hospitals that need it the least, academic medical centers. What we really need to do is invest in our safety net hospitals. You know, over the last 20 years, we've lost 25,000 beds. We went from having 75,000 hospital beds around the state to only 50,000. And Governor Hochul should take our $1 billion a year in indigent care pool funding and just target it at true safety net hospitals That's, you know, critical hospitals upstate and rural communities, and lower income and hospitals that are situated in lower income communities in New York City. You know, so the hospitals that really are serving the Medicaid population, as opposed to the super rich bedpan alley, if you will, fancy hospitals that do not prioritize Medicaid patients.
In addition to Medicaid, another big healthcare responsibility for New York is running the health exchange system. Is there anything with regards to the implementation of our health exchange or any of the other rules under the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, that you would like to see Kathy Hochul take the lead on?
I'm so glad you asked that. I mean, yes, there are things that we could do. Right now, the health exchange is incredibly affordable. So if you're uninsured, you should go right now, because thanks to the American Rescue Plan and President Biden, you know, the subsidies have never been more generous, the tax credits we can get.
Finish listening to the interview first and then go do this. there might be more stuff for you to hear, you know, in the next couple minutes.
That's good. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, listen to Dave. Then or pause that podcast and run out and go onto the website and see if you're qualified, because many, many more people are qualifying for subsidies than ever before. But we have this amazing program called the Essential Plan that has zero deductible, super reasonable pricing, you know, super reasonable copays. And we should try to expand that up to 300% of the federal poverty line. So, you know, a little higher up the income. Right now it's capped at $25,000 a year. And we'd like to see that go up to the, you know, $30,000 a year, so that more working class folks can take advantage of, you know, reasonable health insurance. And these are the very people who are least likely to have offers of job-based coverage. So we really want to have the marketplace think about things like, you know, expanding our essential plan, considering designing a product, you know, using its, you know, purchasing power and saying, you know, health plans, give us options that have no deductibles. Or what about this? How about investing in our enrollment and outreach program, which has not had an increase? These are called navigators. They have an increase in their budget of $27 million, you know, for across like 60 small community groups in over 7 years. How about giving them a cost of living increase and having them target their energy at high uninsured, you know, counties? That would make a lot of sense. So there's a lot we could do with the exchange to make it, you know, more responsive to people, more affordable, and actually more effective at enrolling people in coverage.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about a potential healthcare to-do list for Governor Kathy Hochul. And our guest is Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President of Health Initiatives for the Community Service Society. So, Elizabeth, when you and I have talked in the past, one of the big issues for you has been medical debt, a bunch of different bills that you guys have prioritized. Is there something on the medical debt front that you're eyeing for 2022?
Oh, let me count the ways. I mean, the one thing about ending medical debt is this would cost the legislature and Governor Hochul nothing. Like, this is not, it doesn't cost them a cent to actually make our healthcare system work better for patients. You know, New York's, every single hospital in New York State is a 501c3 charity, and yet half of them are suing patients, even though they're a charity. No other charity system would actually go out and hurt the very people that it's designed to serve. But somehow our hospitals have decided that it's a good idea to sue people. 4,000 people were sued during the pandemic. And unless you think that, you know, the people they're suing are super rich, I mean, these are for bills, the median amounts of these bills are $1,900. When we analyze where folks live who are being sued by zip code, you know, they substantially live in low-income communities of color. And it's just not okay. The governor has sitting on her debt, the Fair Consumer Debt Judgment interest rate. And we really, you know, hope and pray that she will sign that, because that, you know, not only are the hospitals allowed to sue patients, but they also get to charge 9% interest. And this would change that down to 2%, which is a little more reasonable given that the U.S. Treasury rate's like 1.5%. The other thing that we really would like to see her do this year, and we're about to issue what I think is a pretty blockbuster report. According to the hospital's own data that they submit to the Department of Health, they're basically taking liens on people's homes about 2,000 people's homes a year. And so S6522, A7363, those are the bill numbers, would say that, you know, you're a hospital, you're supposed to be a charity. It's not okay for you to take a lien on someone's primary residence. 10 states already bar this practice for judgment creditors, and we would like to see, you know, New York step up and, you know, be on the side of the angels, be on the side of angels, and say, look, hospitals, you should not be taking people's homes. There's this thing that we all spend so much, you know, time and energy about called social determinants of health. It is not in the interest of anyone to have their primary residence taken to satisfy a medical debt. So the, you know, there's a bunch of other provisions we really would like to see. You know, the hospitals get about $1 billion a year that are supposed to offset their uncompensated care costs. The Cuomo administration in 2018 promised that we would have one simple uniform form for hospital financial aid. You know, every state, all 250 hospitals, gets to sign, you know, design their own forms. And that's just, it's complicated. They're hard to find. They often are non-compliant with our existing state law. And so we've asked the administration and the legislature to, you know, modernize our hospital financial assistance law and just have one form that every hospital in the state has to use, and one set of easy to understand rules that are reasonable for patients. And that seems like a reasonable trade for $1 billion a year. So we really hope that the Hochul administration will bring, you know, really embrace the End Medical Debt campaign and actually make it a reality. We've just been promised and promised that something's going to change and these bills would get enacted, and yet it's been a very, very long couple of years. And so we're hoping that with, you know, new leadership and, you know, a woman to boot, you know, women are often the people in the household that deal with all the medical bills. And we're hoping that Governor Hochul has had that experience herself and maybe would see a way to protecting patients in her next year of office.
So we've been having this conversation, you know, looking forward, but I want to end by looking backwards. And we've talked about Governor Cuomo a little bit during this interview, but I'm curious, what do you see as his effect or his legacy on healthcare for New Yorkers over the last decade? Because I think about healthcare spending, you know, has increased during his administration. You know, Medicaid spending goes up and up every year. He led the charge on creating a health exchange. You know, he's the one who did the executive order, made expansion to the essential plan in certain ways. But I imagine you're not necessarily going to give him like an A+ for his time in office. I mean, how do you think about Andrew Cuomo and his legacy?
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, I think the brilliance of Andrew Cuomo was, you know, hiring an incredible, you know, civil servant to be the head of the New York State of Health Exchange. And that was Donna Frescatore, who had been like a prior Medicaid director and then became the exchange director and then became the Medicaid director and the exchange director. And she really, you know, understood healthcare and really understood coverage. And thanks to, you know, I think the Cuomo administration did get A+ by, you know, when the legislature kind of, you know, woofed at the end of the session and didn't enact the exchange bill. He went forward and, you know, and signed an executive order and set up that exchange and appointed Donna, and she, you know, organized it. And we got, you know, hundreds of thousands of people health coverage, millions of people over time. The other thing that the Cuomo administration did that should not be underestimated is it's one of two states that have adopted a thing called the basic health plan. We call that the essential plan. Mm-hmm. And that's that coverage I was talking about that 910,000 New Yorkers take advantage. Almost 1 million people take advantage of this program. It's no deductible, super great cost sharing. And now it's free. It used to be $20 a month for the more quote unquote wealthy people. With incomes up to $25,000 a year. And so that was pretty visionary stuff, that, you know, getting that exchange set up and having a robust navigator program, although they could give those folks a bit of a raise, and then, you know, and then really going for this essential plan. I think where the Cuomo administration really fell down short is it it seemed like not all voices were heard equally. And it felt like there were people, you know, they would tend to bring people together in these stakeholder work groups. But at the end of the day, we always knew that the hospitals and the insurance industry always were sort of first among equals, and maybe the rest of us weren't really equals. And I think where the Cuomo administration really failed was on really making a difference on health equity. Allowing all these hospitals to close and be starved of resources in communities of color really is kind of unforgivable. Doing nothing about Black women, maternal mortality rates, really doing nothing to, everybody knows healthcare is, the financial motivations, reimbursement runs healthcare, sad to say, under our current system, that where we don't have the New York Health Act, we have a very, money-driven healthcare system. And I think they missed a huge opportunity with all those Medicaid redesign teams to do something about health equity. And in fact, we did almost nothing about health equity. I can't think of, even the health planning process has no health equity component. Now, that's a bill Governor Hochul could sign right now and make a difference. It would require all big projects that go before her, going before this big committee, the Public Health and Health Planning Council, to have a health equity assessment, just like corporations have to have a environmental equity assessment when they're building big chemical plants. Hospitals should have to go through a health equity assessment and explain to the people that are making decisions how they're going to improve medical equity and get rid of some of the pernicious health disparities that plague our healthcare system in New York. And then, of course, I think where Governor Cuomo really, I don't understand it. And I'm not sure anybody understands, why they just didn't release that nursing home data. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking by digging in, but I think so many of us in the healthcare community really kind of lost faith at that moment that they weren't being honest about the nursing home deaths. And it's hard to be a patient advocate and not feel, really angry that information was being hidden or seemingly hidden, and it wasn't right. I mean, I just think on the health equity thing, I mean, he had multiple opportunities to allocate that $1 billion a year in the Indigent Care Pool Fund, so that it would be targeted towards safety net hospitals. And I just think they didn't do it, and they really should have. And it just felt like, again, at the end of the day in the Cuomo administration's many, many, many voices were not heard and not privileged over others. And that really, the hospitals and the insurance companies really had more power than the rest of us. There's like some quirky, kind of bureaucratic things that they did that I thought was really interesting. Like they had a process where the Medicaid program had an evidence-based medicine panel where they really tried to have people when they were trying to decide whether the Medicaid program was going to cover a treatment or a procedure or a protocol, it would there has to be medical evidence to support it. And I thought that was a really interesting innovation that they tried. And in fact, one of the things that the MRT did was cap physical therapy. And one of the things that the governor's own, evidence-based medicine panel said, well, why would you be funding back surgery, which has no evidence, and yet capping physical therapy, which has plenty of evidence that it actually works? And so to their great credit, they reversed themselves and, got rid of that cap on physical therapy. So I think there was just lots of smart people in the administration. But again, I think there, certain people had a seat higher up at the table, shall we say, than others. And I think at the end of the day, those entities that had so much power really got what they wanted, and the rest of us didn't get so much.
So putting aside the New York Health Act, which is a big swing for the legislature and the governor, How optimistic are you about Governor Kathy Hochul taking the ball and running with the priorities that we talked about here today?
I'm really optimistic. You know, she really has always talked about caring about patients. She, you know, has really been enthusiastic about the little guy and the little woman, you know, the little man and woman in this situation. I think she really cares about women. Women are the people that have to deal with, you know, health care and health coverage. And so I feel like this is something that could be, you know, this consumer patient agenda really could be a home run for her. And it would definitely be a fresh page in Albany if, you know, the administration started taking some of the consumer agenda seriously and going for it.
Well, we're going to have to follow up on all of that in 2022. Our guest has been Elizabeth Benjamin. She's the Vice President of Health Initiatives for the Community Service Society. Elizabeth, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.